What did it look like for you? Well, when I was growing up, you woke up, you emptied your stocking, you went down, you found your main Christmas gift, which you were allowed to open before you went out to church. You then went out to church, and when you got back from church, Mum would take the bacon off the top of the turkey, and basically you snacked on that until it was time for dinner. And after dinner, we always watched the Queen's speech. And then after that, you were allowed to open the rest of your presents. And you either played with them, you watched a movie, or you had a nap. Then later that evening, around about 9 or 10, you'd have a traditional Christmas Day sandwich. Now, I guess most of us probably have slightly different versions of that. But when I married Claire, our first Christmas as a married couple we had in France, and I was met with a very different way of doing things. So half of Christmas Day in France is spent asleep, because everything happens on Christmas Eve and the early hours of Christmas Day. I said last week that the French like to take their time when they eat, and this is never more true than at Christmas. So you spend literally hours eating. So at about 8 o'clock in the evening, the canapés start, and you don't sit down to have your starter until like 9:30, 10 p.m. And I think last time we were in France for Christmas, we had dessert at about 1:30 in the morning. And then after you've finished eating, it's not like you eat and go to bed. Then you have to open up all your presents before you go to sleep, so you don't end up going to bed until like 4 a.m. It's very, very different. It was very strange for me. And you know, it must have been really strange, I think, to be Mary and Joseph. Imagine what's just happened. So a bunch of shepherds that you've never met wander into this very basic place that you've just given birth. And they come, and they've come to see your child. And that's not to mention all the strange stuff that's happened before that. So, you know, the baby was born. Before the baby was born, the angels came and they visited, and then you had dreams. And then you have the whole thing of laying your child in a donkey's feeding trough. And nothing about their experience has been normal. But our passage this morning started with something very normal for a committed Jew like Mary. She goes off to purify herself after birth so that she can go and worship in the temple. And then they go to the temple and they dedicate Jesus, which is something that the law commanded. But things do not remain normal for very long. A man called Simeon comes to the temple and looks at Jesus, and he says this. He says, "I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." And we are told that Mary and Joseph were amazed at what he had said about their son. Now, when I read that, I was like, well, you know, God's already told them loads of this stuff before. So I'm asking, why are they amazed? Then I thought about it a bit harder, and I looked at it a bit harder, and I think that they're amazed because Simeon here makes something clear that hadn't really been clear to this point. Has anyone here ever been to Vietnam? Anyone been to Vietnam? Wow. So in Vietnam, the currency, the money is called the Vietnamese dong, right? And one of our pounds is worth 30,000 Vietnamese dong. So imagine that you went to Vietnam and you decided, you're feeling very, very generous, and you decided that you were going to give a gift to a Vietnamese person. And you go up to them and you say, "I'm going to give you 3 million. 3 million. I'm sure that they'd be very happy with that. 3 million is about £100. But if I said, I'm going to give you £3 million, that's a much better gift, isn't it? That's 90 billion dong. So by changing dong to pounds, by changing that word, my gift becomes so much greater. And that's a little bit like what's going on here for Mary and Joseph. So they, I guess they've understood to, up to this point, that their son is to be the Messiah. But as would have been normal for Jews at the time, they thought the Messiah was for the Jews alone. But did you notice it? Simeon says, no, he's not just for the Jews. He's for the nations, for all of them. So they knew this baby was special, but Simeon is telling them he's far more special than they realize. So the first thing to take away this morning is something I'll say every single Christmas, and it's this. Don't let the presents, don't let the food, don't let the parties distract you from what they're all supposed to be pointing to. We give gifts at Christmas because the greatest gift has been given to us. We eat and we party because we have something to celebrate. Jesus coming into the world. This baby's no normal baby. He's special. And he's special because he's God and he's man, but he's special because of what he's come to do. And we sang about it in the first song. He comes to die that we might have life. He comes to take our sin so that we might be free from it, so that we can have relationship with God, so we can be restored and one day be perfected in a world that is free from everything that is wrong. He comes to give that to all who trust him and invites all of us, whatever age we are, to do that. He invites us to do it this morning, to come back to our passage. So growing up, I love sport. I still do love sport. But my brother's much more into music. I wasn't big on sport. But during the summer, on a nice summer's day, occasionally I managed to convince him to get out into the garden to play football, or play tennis or badminton. And when I did manage, we'd play for like a maximum of half an hour before he'd get bored, want to stop and go back inside. But if you give him a piano, Phil would sit down and play it for hours on end. That was just what he did. Patience and perseverance are things required for operation. They're also things required, aren't they, for the sorts of things that we're maybe not naturally good at or we don't really like. There are also two things that are not really spoken about much at Christmas. But both of these things, I think, are found in our passage. If we look a little bit closer at two people in it, if we look at Simeon and look at Anna. So here's what we read about Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Okay, quick poll. So hands up if you like waiting. Anyone? Anyone enjoy waiting? No. Didn't think so. I wonder if more so than ever before, we humans are terrible at waiting. And look, there's no doubt that technology has not helped us with this. If I want to, I could get my phone out now and I could get pretty much any movie, TV show, book, music track, or game with just a click. And you can get pretty much anything else that you want delivered the very next day, can't you? We are used to getting things when we want them. We aren't told when this thing was revealed to Simeon or how long he'd been waiting for the Messiah to come. But what we are told is the most important values in his life. He was righteous and devout. He was committed to God. And notice how he waited. He eagerly waited. He didn't put the Messiah is going to come in my lifetime to the back of his mind and forget about it. No, he lived every day with it at the front of his mind. I think there's a challenge in that for us this morning. Because at Christmas, we remember that Jesus came into the world. And I think that that's also a reminder that he's going to come again. That we too have received a promise that we are waiting to receive. Now, what do you do with that promise? That Jesus is coming again to make all things new, to perfect us, to perfect the world around us, so we can live in that perfection with him for eternity. What do you do with that promise? Is that thrust to the very back of your mind? Do you forget about it? Are you expecting that God's going to do what he says he's going to do? That's the goal of our faith, isn't it? His return. So the question there for us is, do we eagerly wait for it, or do we just forget about it? The second person that we meet is Anna. Now, Anna's an older lady. Anna's husband died young. She'd lived for over 70 years as a widow, if she got married at the sort of normal age that a woman would have been married at. She lived as a widow for 70 years. Now, if someone was a widow for 70 years today, that's a hard life, isn't it? But it's even harder back then, because the reality was that you had no money coming into your home. So it'd be fairly certain that Anna struggled to make ends meet, that her life would be difficult. And yet this is what is said about her. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God and fasting and prayer. Simeon, we are told, was devout, and devotion, I think, is the only word that we can use to describe Anna's actions. And here's a challenge, I think, about perseverance. If Simeon challenged about patience, Anna challenges about perseverance. It's very clear. It was very clear when we looked at Daniel, the end of Daniel, that the world is a difficult place to be one of God's people. The trials and tribulations come. But as in Daniel, we were reminded to dig in, to hold on. I think Anna shows us the right way to do that. To let the trials and tribulations of this life push us to and not away from God. And the last thing I wanted to say on these two is what we read about Simeon. But it must be true for Anna as well. Here are two people who have the Holy Spirit upon them, guiding their actions. And I think that at the end of the day is the secret to eagerly waiting. It's a secret to devotion to God, to hand the reins over to him, to let him direct us, to let him show us how to live for God, to let him move us to pray, to let him move us to speak, to let him move us to act. So this Christmas, don't forget how special Jesus is. But use his first coming as a reminder of the goal of our faith, his return, our perfection. And let's press on into 2019 by the Spirit, eagerly waiting and devoted to God. Okay, we're going to...